tonight again to Book of Acts, chapter 3. We'll read verses 1 through 12, same verses that we read this morning. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through verse 12. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple, the hour of prayer being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them, expecting to receive an offering. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" Again, what we read here is the miraculous healing of a man who is described as a certain man lame from his mother's womb, as we saw this morning from Acts chapter 4 and verse 22. This man is now over 40 years old. He had been on a daily basis carried and laid at this particular place going into the temple there at the gate. And it was there that he would ask alms or beg. He would ask for charitable donations, keeping in mind that those who would pass by that way were religious people, were people who would be going into the temple to pray. As we saw this morning, on a particular day, at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Peter and John, heading to the temple, come upon this lame man who had been lame from his mother's womb, and he's doing what he always does, what he does every day. He's begging with the passerbys. John and Peter, hearing this man's pleadings and seeing this man, we see that they stop, they look intently upon him. The Bible says they fastened their eyes upon him. They spoke directly to him. They said, "Look on us." And then the reaction and the reason for the man's reaction is recorded in verse 5. "And he gave heed unto them." That's how he reacted. The reason for his reaction is he was expecting to receive something of them. That is, he was expecting to receive silver and gold from them. Then what Peter said to this man is recorded in verse 6. "Silver and gold have I none, but," showing a contrast, "such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And it is from verse 6 that we want to take the thought of the message, and we want to speak tonight on the message that is so desperately needed today. First of all, we want again to briefly say that this man's condition is a picture of human need. I believe it serves, first of all, as a picture of the lost sinner, as we saw this morning. And as we consider what Peter and John said to this man, it is what every lost sinner needs to hear. Due to this man's condition, that is, considering himself as a portrayal of the neediness of a lost sinner, due to his condition, there were many things that he could not do. There were many things that he would never experience as long as he remained in that condition. There were many things that he would never feel as long as he remained in that condition. There were many things that he would never enjoy because of his condition. In other words, this man's condition, due to his condition, his life was very, very limited. And so it is with lost sinners. Due to their condition, unless a change is made in their condition, there are certain things that they will never, ever experience. There are certain things that they'll never feel. There are certain things that they'll never enjoy. There are certain things that they just cannot do, as we saw this morning. But this man, as all lost sinners do, lived according to his condition. The truth is, his condition would not allow him to do otherwise. He was enslaved to his condition. And that is true of the lost sinner. Therefore, the lost sinner lives, as we said this morning, as a lost sinner. They live as a person without Jesus Christ. They live as a person without the peace of God. They live as a person without spiritual rest. They live as a person without any real hope and without any real benefit of who Christ is. So this man definitely is a portrayal, a picture of the unsaved. But he is also a picture of many saved people. He's a picture of a saved person who has somehow gotten into a very poor spiritual condition. And he is a very good picture of this. Because of his condition, again, he was rendered unable. He could not stand. He could not walk. He could not run like others. His condition would not allow him to stand. His condition would not allow him to walk. His condition would not allow him to run. Because of his condition, there were things he could not do. And there are those of God's people who have gotten themselves in such a poor spiritual condition due to their condition. There are things that they are not able to do unless their condition is changed. They cannot be what they ought to be because of their condition. This particular man, his condition caused him to live in a rut. I mean, every single day for over 40 years, he lived as a lame man. He was carried and laid daily at the gate. And don't you think that after some length of time, this man did become accustomed to being lame. And he did become accustomed to be carried to the temple. And he did become accustomed to being laid there at the gate. And he did become accustomed to asking of alms. And at the end of day, being carried back home. And then the next day, carried back to the temple. He became accustomed to his condition. And there are God's people who are in very, very poor spiritual condition. Their condition greatly limits them. Before them is the life, the greatest life that a person can live, the life of a child of God. But they can't live that life unless their condition changes. They are a slave to their condition. And just like this lame man, to a large degree, they become accustomed. They get used to it. But you think about a child of God that falls into a very poor spiritual condition. They can't pray. Not like they ought to. They can't. What a terrible position to be in. To have the opportunity to call on the name of God, but because of such a terrible condition, they can't pray. They can't talk to God. In fact, some have become so accustomed to being in that condition, they've been in that condition so long, they don't even know how. They wouldn't even know where to begin. And that's why you tell these people, well, you need to pray. But I've come to the realization they can't. Because of their condition. Because of the condition. Now we're talking about saved people now. Because of the condition that they have fallen into, they can't really have fellowship with God. You talk to them about drawing near to God, and you talk to them about drawing from God and enjoying God, and they look at you with this blank look like, what are you talking about? Because they can't do it. Because of their condition. Because of their condition. They have no real spiritual joy in their lives. Because of their condition, they do not grow spiritually. Their faith does not grow. Their love does not grow. Their relationship with the Lord remains cold and indifferent. There is no spiritual intensity in their lives. There is no spiritual earnestness about them. There is no fire. There is no zeal. There is no passion for the things of the Lord. They, like the lame man, have become accustomed to such a life. How sad. How sad for a child of God to get in such a condition. They stop standing. They can't stand. They have stopped walking. They have stopped leaping for joy. They have stopped praising God. And they live according to their condition. This man's condition also not only put him in a rut that he became accustomed to, there was no lasting happiness in his life. Oh, he'd have moments of happiness, but there's nothing lasting. That's true of many of God's people today. Oh, they'll have some moments of happiness. I suppose just about everybody has some moments. doesn't last. And the reason it doesn't last is because their condition will not allow it to last. They really do not have strength. Their condition gives them no real comfort. But really, their condition simply adds to ordinary difficulties. There's a lot of ordinary difficulties, difficulties that we all face. And you fall into a bad spiritual condition, guess what? You've just added to your difficulties. You've added to your difficulties. So this lame man is descriptive, not only of the unsaved man. He is descriptive of the lives of many of God's people. This man's condition, I mean, every day he's carried to the temple. Every day he's laid there. Every day he spends hours. Now, I just suppose that he was carried there sometime before the third hour. He was there about 6 hours a day. There he was, begging. His condition caused him to live at a very, very low level. And sad to say, that is true of many of God's people as well. I mean, look at this man. There he is, because of his condition. And what's he living off of? He's living off the spare change of others. There are a lot of God's people doing the same thing. Living off a spare change. They don't really have anything. I'm not talking materially, I'm talking spiritually. And they just live off the spare change of what others can give them. This is why they hop from one person to the next. Because they're just looking for some spare change. Just looking for something to get them through another day. That's a sad way to live. It is truly sad for a child of God to allow themselves to get in a condition where they live that way. So there he is, just like many of God's people, living off spare change, never really enjoying what God has. And like many of God's people, this man just kept doing the same things over and over and over and over again. Every single day, he did the same thing. And every single day, his condition was not changed. But he kept doing that very same thing. And there are many of God's people today, they just continue to do the very same thing over and over and over and over again. Yet their condition remains the same. Oh, every now and then they get a little ease and they feel pretty good. They get a little tranquility, a little bit of joy, a little bit of relief. And oh, this is a good day. Wait a few minutes. Your condition hasn't changed. You'll be back in misery in no time. That's how it was with this lame man. That's how it is with many of God's people. So Peter and John come upon the scene. And we want to consider the message that they had for this man. Because it is the message that lost people need to hear. And it is the message that God's people need to hear. Especially those who have fallen into such a poor condition. I want to notice six things about this message. It was a message that this man needed. Six things about this message. First of all, it was distinct. It was something completely different than the religious world. This man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, laid daily at the gate of the temple. And every day, the religious world, the religious people, would make their way into the temple to pray. And every day, there he was. They could expect it. He would be there. And every day they would see this man in his miserable, sorrowful, wretched, abysmal, and very feeble condition. They would hear his pitiful and pathetic pleas. And what did they do? Reached in their pockets, threw some money, threw some alms in this man's way toward this individual. And no doubt these religious people, as they did that, made him feel good. I've done something to help this man. I've been a blessing to this man. And these religious people, as they would go into the temple, they're feeling pretty good about themselves. They've cast some alms in the direction of the needy. But you take all the silver and gold that this man had collected, that had been pitched his way over the years. It did not change his condition one bit. What the religious world had to offer did not change his condition. And that was his problem. His problem was his condition. His problem was his feet and ankle bones. That's where the problem was. And everything the religious world did not address the problem. None of those coins addressed the problem. None of those alms, none of those coins proved to be a solution. Proved to be the answer. Proved to be the remedy for what this man needed. And it's no different today. It's no different today. The carnal philosophy of the religious world, the message of easy believism that the world preaches, the feel-good message that the religious world wants to present, that self-esteem promoting message that the religious world wants to present. That political correct message of the religious world. That's not what the guilty sinner needs. It will not change his condition. It's not what the saved individual needs that's in a poor spiritual condition. All the alms of that religious crowd did not change this man's condition. Oh, when he heard those coins fall into his basket or whatever he had, he might have said thank you, and it might have made him feel good, but it didn't change his condition. And people are missing the boat completely. But we've got to make the lost sinner feel comfortable. That won't change your condition. We've got to make them happy. That won't change their condition. That's not what they need. They need something that will address their condition, because that's their problem. But none of this, none of the alms of the religious world fix what plagues mankind. And none of the alms of the religious world gets to the real problem. And what the religious world cast in this man's direction, again, it may have gave him some temporary relief. It may have gave him some temporary joy. It may have made him feel better for a moment, but none of those alms changed his condition, which was the root of his problem. When Peter and John came into contact with this man, they stood there before him. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." As if to say, "Sir, though the religious world is throwing all this silver and gold in your direction, we're not here to offer you silver and gold. We're not here to give you silver and gold. Because, sir, that's not what you need." And then notice, "But silver and gold have I none. But we do have something for you. It's not silver and gold, but we do have something for you. Something that would truly bless this man." So the message delivered to this man was different than what the religious crowd was doing. Every now and then, people get an idea in their heads, "Well, we've got to do more like the religious world." No, 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 no. You don't need to go down that road. You don't even need to look at that road. It's a dead end. Doesn't help anybody. Secondly, the message that this man heard that day wasn't what he expected, nor was it what he desired. Peter and John drew this man's attention to themselves. There in verse 4, they said, "Look on us." Again, I picture him looking down, looking away from the passerbys. And Peter says, "Look at us." And the man gave attention to them because he expected to receive something of them. He'd been sitting there a long time. He'd been spending a lot of days there. And he came to expect certain things of the religious world. Our world is like that today. People come into Home Baptist Church, and I'm talking about the outside world, and most of them are expecting something. Not what they're going to get, but they're expecting something because they have this picture of the religious world. And this man was expecting something. He not only was expecting it, he wanted it. He wanted what he expected. And that presents a real problem. Because today people expect something that will not help them, and now they want what will not help them. And they get angry if you do not give them what they're expecting and wanting. This man was expecting, and he wanted silver and gold. He received. He wanted silver and gold. He expected silver and gold. He received silver and gold from the religious world. And guess what? It did not change his condition one iota. People today have come to expect and want the mere alms of the religious world. Even though the religious alms of the religious world bring no real change to the confusion that abounds in their life, to the chaos that abounds in their life, to the wretchedness of their condition. But that's what they want, and that's what they expect. But the message of the Word of God is not what is expected by the majority of the world today. Nor is it what they want. Thirdly, the message that this man heard that day was without apology, was without regret. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." He did not say, "Sir, I'm so sorry, but I don't have any silver and I don't have any gold. Maybe another day." No, when Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none," that was not said in an apologetic tone. That was not said in a regretful tone. It was said to emphasize, "Sir, silver and gold is not what you need." Said to emphasize that fact. It's a sad day when those who hold the truth start to feel guilty because they're not offering the same message that the religious world is offering. Don't ever feel guilty about that. Don't ever apologize about that. Don't ever regret the message that we have. "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." He was telling this man, "Sir, silver and gold is not what you need. And sir, we have something far better than what all these religious people are giving you. We have something far better than all the alms. We have something far more beneficial. I know it's not what you're expecting, and I know it's not what you want, but we're not here to give you silver and gold. We're here to give you what you need. Sir, we're not here to give you what you want. We're here to give you what you need. We're here to give you what will help you and get to the root of your problem." Again, he did not speak in a tone of apology. And the Word of God, the message of the Word of God, does not need to be preached in an apologetic tone. And it does not need to be preached with regret. And you and I do not need to feel bad that we do not give the same things that the religious world gives today. We don't have to feel bad about that. You need to repent if you do feel bad about that. We see fourthly that the message this man heard that day was a message of Christ. He said in verse 6, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." Sir, we need, do you mind if we talk about politics for a while? It's not what this man needed. Churches today, people like preachers to talk about politics. Folks, that's not what people need. Oh, it might be entertaining, and people might find it interesting, but that's not what they need. He didn't talk about politics. He didn't give some philosophical discourse. People do that all the time, give some philosophical discourse. They haven't said one single thing, and people go, "Wow, that was deep." And he didn't say anything. But that's what people want. Doesn't help them. Doesn't change your condition any. But they brought a message about Christ. Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ. It was a message about the only way out of this man's condition. A message about Christ. Fifthly, the message that this man heard was demanding. It was demanding. First of all, it was a message that demanded his attention. Look at us. Look at us, they said. They demanded the man's attention. Everyone who passed by and dropped a few coins, dropped a few alms in the man's collection basket, never demanded the man's attention. Just throw a few religious alms over there, he doesn't have to pay a bit of attention. People like that. People like that. People like to receive a few religious alms. Just so I don't have to pay attention. Don't want anything demanded of me. But they demanded this man's attention. Not only did they demand his attention, but they put a personal demand on him. They said directly to him, "Rise up and walk." They made a demand on him. When you preach the word of God, it makes demands on people. People don't like that. People don't like that. I want to come to church and I want to feel good about myself. I want to feel cozy. I want to feel comfortable. I want to have all fuzzy feelings. Don't make any demands, but the Word of God makes demands. And Peter and John made a demand on this man. Rise up and walk. Everybody that passed by and threw some coins in his direction, they didn't make any demands on him. That's what the religious world does today. People love it. Oh, I love that church. I go there, I feel so comfortable that they don't expect anything of me. They preach and oh, it just makes me feel so good. Nothing's expected of me. That's what people want. They made a personal demand upon him. And if you think about it, the personal demand they made upon him, rise up and walk, addressed the man's problem. It addressed the man's problem. It addressed the man's condition. It would remind the man of his condition. It was a demand that it was a message that made a demand for him to do two things: rise up and walk. Two things that he could not do in and of himself. That's the message of this book. It makes demands upon us of things that we cannot do in and of ourselves. The demand that they made would require that this man receive strength from God. It would require that this man exercise some faith in God. Now that it is a message that makes a demand, that means also it was a message that laid immediate responsibility upon him. He had to do something with it. There were a lot of things he could do with it, but he had to do something with it. That's the message of this book. It makes a demand, and that makes us responsible. It was not a message
about everybody but him. Peter and John didn't say, oh, you notice all these hypocrites going in the temple, doesn't that just burn you up? That wouldn't have helped him any. It was a message about him. It was a message about him. You see, a lot of people today, they'll say, our preacher, he preaches against sin. What he preaches against is abortion, homosexuality, and all these things. And these things need to be preached against. But chances are, that's not what's going on in the church. People don't mind you preaching about sin that's out there that no one in the church is guilty of. They don't mind that. You start preaching about their sin. Well, now that's a different story. And they spoke directly to this man. They weren't talking about anybody else. They weren't talking about anyone else's sins. They made a demand on him, and they required something of him, and now he was responsible. We see, lastly, it was a message that if believed and received, would have life-changing power. And so it is today. Peter and John come and they say, look at us, pay attention. Listen to what I'm about to say to you. Silver and gold have I none. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. This man could have said, you guys are a bunch of fools. He could have ignored the message. He could have mocked the message. But you know what would have happened if he ignored the message? This is true again of the lost. It's true of the saved as well. What would have happened if he ignored the message was he would have went home that day a lame man. His condition would not have been changed. It wouldn't have changed his condition. And can you see his relatives or friends, whoever it was that carried him there and whoever went back to get him, and this lame man saying, I had two men stop today. They wouldn't give me any silver and gold. They didn't care a thing about me. They had no concern about me whatsoever. They didn't give me what I wanted. They didn't give me what I expected. They didn't give me what everybody else was giving me. That's the attitude of the world today. That church doesn't care. They didn't give me, I didn't hear what I wanted to hear. Peter and John cared more about this man than anyone else who passed by and threw some coins in his basket. Can you hear them today? Oh, I can. Oh, those two men, they don't understand. They don't understand. They don't understand what it is to be a lame man. Oh, they had no understanding whatsoever. They had the audacity to tell me to get up and walk. They don't understand. They don't have any compassion. They don't have any concern. I hope I never see them again. Had that been his attitude, he would have remained a lame man. He would have remained in his horrible condition. But here he is, a man lame from his mother's womb, now over 40 years old. And when Peter and John said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk, this man believed. He believed. He received the message. And he acted upon what he heard. And immediately, his feet and ankle bones receive strength. That's where his problem was. You see, his condition has been changed. And because his condition has been changed, He's now able to stand. He's now able to walk. He's now able to leap. He's now able to enter into the temple. He's now able to praise God.
It wasn't the alms of religion that brought this about. It was a God-given message that was believed and that was received that changed this man.
There are people all the time, saved and unsaved. They're miserable. They're miserable. You preach and preach and preach to them the word of God. They mock. They laugh. They ridicule. They say, "Oh, I'll never do that." You just don't understand. You just don't understand. And guess what? Day after day, they live in that condition. Nothing changes. And many of them, sad to say, will go to their grave that way. But Peter and John had a message. A message that was far, far different than what the religious world was doing. It was a message that this man needed. It was a message that had the power to change his condition and his life. And Peter and John, they didn't try to figure out, well, what's the best way to approach this man? Just how should we put it to this man? You know, to encourage him, how should we go about doing this? Give it any thought at all. They said, "Sir, rise up and walk." They just immediately got to the root of the problem. He received the message, and a miracle took place. I hope and pray that we'll never be content to have a few religious alms thrown in our direction. That won't help us. That won't change our condition. And I pray that we not be guilty of just throwing religious alms in the direction of problems, in the direction of the needs of mankind. We have the message that they need to hear. We have the message that if they will receive it, if they will believe it, if they will act upon it, their life will be different. We have that message. And it would be irresponsible to preach any other message having that message. And it is irresponsible and it is criminal. When you have the truth, when you have what people need, to tell them anything but what they need. And most churches today are not interested. Well, first of all, they don't even know. But they're not interested in what people need. They're interested in them feeling comfortable. They're interested in them coming back. I like to see people come back. I like to see them come back again and again and again and again. But we're not going to change the message to get them to come back. You just preach the same old truth. You think that'll work? Always has. Always will. May I say, it's the only thing that will work. The religious alms doesn't work. They never have worked. And they never will. We have what works.
And we need to be faithful to that. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.